to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode 2 of the Not Terrible podcast. Today we're catching up with Jess and discussing where she is in her healing journey. We'll explore what made her abruptly stop her podcast and why now feels like a good time to begin again. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist.
So I've always taken pride in being a good coper. I think that should be our first t-shirt. Coper.
I'm a good coper.
I'm a good coper. Around summertime of last year, I felt like I stopped being a good coper, or I was running out of tools in my toolbox. I didn't have the coping skills that I needed to manage a high needs daughter and a teenage son, which I'm not the only person in the world that has these types of things. And if everybody, I feel like, kind of takes a step back and looks into your life, there's probably a couple of places that you would benefit from gaining better coping skills. So my bossy friend Mary was telling everybody about her therapist. And if you ever do meet her, what she's going to say is, "Hi, I'm Mary Graham, and my therapist is Lisa. And this is why you need to go.
And here's her business card."
Yes. So, Mary was, you were telling all of us about Lisa, and you had started seeing Lisa probably 5 or 6 months before. It probably took you 5 or 6 months to be ready to share her, right?
Yeah, I think it was a good, I need a minute.
It's like when you find a new band and you're like, I don't want to tell people, but I want to tell people.
Right.
Yeah, it was like
I need to keep this for myself, but also life changing.
Right. I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this because I have had crummy therapists and I was kind of burned in the past and I didn't really want to go. I thought, you know what? I could probably just find a good Pinterest quote or Google it.
Self-help book.
Yes. I'll be okay. And so I started seeing Dr. Lisa because I just help me how to cope and how to better serve my kids in our post-traumatic stress situation, which is I went into it knowing that that was how our house just operated. You know, Addie is constantly having seizures and we're constantly recovering from that adrenaline of rushing around the house or calling an ambulance or administering crazy amounts of medication. And just all of us are just kind of, it's just such an extreme roller coaster all the time. And I wanted to better equip myself so that I could better equip my family to deal with this lifestyle, because our lifestyle is not going to change. Like, there's nothing we can do about that. I know everybody knows, but just in case you're tuning in for the first time, Addie is 12 and she has a very rare form of refractory epilepsy. It's called bilateral band heterotopia. And you're diagnosed refractory when you have 3 failed max dose medications. And we are on 13 or 14. Just keeping the hope that maybe eventually, you know, as she grows up and goes through puberty and things change, that her body will change and maybe the way she metabolizes drugs will change. But we haven't found it yet. So this is just our lifestyle. We live in, I don't want to say panic, because the diagnosis first came and we first started this, but now here we are. She was diagnosed when she was 7 and she's 12. Like, it's not panic anymore. It's just,
it's like low-level crisis mode all the time.
Kind of, yeah. It's like, it's probably what it's like to be a firefighter or, and I'm not comparing myself to first responders, but I'm just saying that adrenaline of you hear the alarm, you hear her start to seize, everybody just gets up and everybody knows what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It's like that. But I could see the stress, because when you're doing this for days and sometimes weeks at a time, we just start taking it out on each other and we get nasty and we get tired and there's just so many emotions, but I'm still so proud of all of us, how we deal. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that was the biggest issue that I needed to address in my life. And that if I could fix that, then everything was going to be fine. It would, that's all. That's it. That's the only thing I have to complain about. And turns out, when you start going to therapy, the last thing you end up addressing is what you thought you were going to therapy for. And that is what happened with Dr. Lisa. And, I mean, just a whole mess of crap came out. And it was really, really hard. And I hated it. Mm-hmm. But that's the pretty thing about therapy, too, is that, like, your first, like, 4 or 5 sessions are like, this is the person I'm going to present to my therapist. See how mentally healthy I am. I really don't know why I'm here in the first place.
Look at this performance I will give you.
Yes, exactly. And then I think it was 5 or 6. And I always say episodes. It's not episodes. Maybe it's an episode. Maybe she's recording them and putting them on the internet. I don't know. I don't even really remember what I said or how it came out, but it was just like, crying. And she's like, okay, this is why you're here. This is usually. And so then she told me her dirty little secret, like, yeah, I've just been sitting here waiting for the truth to come out. And we finally got there. And it just turns out that I have a lot of, I have scars and damage, things from my childhood, relationships, abuse, just a bunch of ugly things. And I thought that by starting this podcast, somehow that would be an extension of my therapy and the work that I was doing. And I could share with people and hopefully encourage them to find professional help if they needed it, which chances are you probably do.
Everyone does.
Everyone does. I feel like it should be a part of, I don't know, a part of adulting.
Yeah.
It should be mandatory. Like, you go to the dentist twice a year and you should at least go to therapy once a month. Like, it should be like that. This podcast was meant to be an extension of my therapy, to share what I was doing outside of the office. This is what I'm working through. And I was a little bit vague in a lot of the things that I said in season 1. I definitely wasn't doing it for the audience. I was doing it for me, which I probably could have just talked into my phone or bought a journal and would have been, yes, and would have been okay. But instead I shared it with all of you, and I'm grateful for everyone that responded and said that they gained something, or they felt less alone, or that they ended up seeking professional help of some kind.
But they're came a minute.
Yes, but it's interesting how things play out, how the universe or God has a plan. I was introduced to Lisa not because I needed coping skills to deal with my daughter's epilepsy. I was introduced to Lisa because I was about ready to walk into the hardest season of my life as an adult, hands down. Like, it was like, hey, it was like doomsday preppers. Like, oh, here, we're going to get you into therapy now and get you ahead of the game because, oh my gosh, if you think your childhood was a shit show, just wait.
Surprise.
Surprise. And that's what happened. And so I stopped doing the podcast because it was too heavy to share anymore. And me being so vague, like, that, it just wasn't serving me. It wasn't serving anybody else. And I wanted to, if I ever decided to come back and continue the podcast, I wanted it to be transparent, more transparent. I wanted it to be specific. I think when I opened myself up to doing a podcast of this nature, I owe it to the listeners to be transparent. If I'm not willing to share the whole story, it's because it's not my story to share.
Or it's not ready.
Or it's not ready yet. Yeah. Exactly. So, man, was I cooking up a story for you guys when I took a break? No, it wasn't. And there's parts of the story that aren't done yet. And I know that they're not ready to share. However, and I don't even know if I'm over the worst part. Today I am. Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Turns out that it wasn't just my childhood that I was going to therapy for. It wasn't just, hold on, I'm going to start that over. Turns out it wasn't just my teenage son and my high needs daughter, and then figuring out that it was actually things that happened in your childhood. Actually, come to find out, it's there's a whole mess of things that haven't even happened to you yet that you're going to end up being in therapy for later. And it was all so intense. It turned out that I still am not ready. Actually, I am. I'm going to go in a couple of days, go back to therapy after about 2 months break. I'm ready to jump back into this because so much stuff comes up. It's never what you anticipate. The things that happened in your childhood and how they affected what's happening to you now and how you're coping and how you're dealing with those things and how the last thing you want to do is set your kids up to not be able to cope, because my kids have been witness to a really ugly, ugly version of their mother in the last couple of months. And it's been, like I said, I thought I could cope and it turns out I can't. It turns out I have really, really poor coping mechanisms where it's, oh, you feel bad right now? You should buy something, or you should drink something, or you should eat something. Like what I thought was like, oh, this isn't bad. And then you $200 worth of books end up on your front porch from Amazon. You're like, what was that about? Oh, remember when you got your feelings hurt 3 days ago? Right. Yeah, that's
books.
Yeah, yeah. Books. That'll fix it. And it's, oh my gosh, it's been such a ride. But I guess like in any situation, whether it's addiction or whether it's a trauma or whether it's just a hard time in your life, acknowledging that it's going on is the first step. Like that's the first step to healing. It's not the only step, because you can just sit there and go, man, my life sucks right now.
Yeah, victim.
And then not do anything. And so we've talked about sitting in our mess and that's what I've been doing for the last couple of months. And I don't know how this is going to progress. I honestly don't, but I can tell you that the progressions that have already happened, the last way, that's how everything has played out so far. I would have never dreamed in a million years that this is what would have happened. I don't necessarily feel better from it. I don't. Visit us at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and podcast extras. Follow us at notterriblepodcast on Instagram or Twitter. We would love to hear your feedback and comments. Leave us a voicemail at 317-662-4066 or email us at notterriblepodcast@gmail.com. For some reason, since I was in the third grade, 36 has been my favorite number. And I actually do know why. It's kind of topical. And we had to pick out race cars in the month of May in third grade, and we had to put a number on our race car. And it was like this math, like if you pass these math tests or whatever, and your race car would move. So I chose 36, and I was like, 36 is my favorite number. That's it. So last June when I turned 36, I was like, this is going to be the best year of my life. Turns out it was the opposite. And I hope that sometime in the future, years or months or whatever, that I can look back and go, it was not the best. It was far from the best. But oh my God, did I grow? And oh my gosh, did I learn so much? So what I thought was the best probably will be. It just doesn't feel like it currently. Yeah. So,
because I think for you to get where you want to go, everything had to come down. Everything had to be burned to the ground. And so maybe 36 for you is, we're going to start over and it's going to be good, but everything's going to be ruined first. Everything.
And I think that that's a common, I think that's something that happens. Like so many of us have, so many of us have these tiny little fires everywhere. And they're just like, and I mean, like maybe imagine like turning on your gas stove and it's just that little blue and you're like, oh yeah, I should probably turn that off or do something about that, but I'm just going to let it. And that's what happened. I had so many unhealthy relationships and different, and some traumas. I'll be honest, some traumas, relationships,
situations,
yeah. Just
patterns, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of things that I had just kind of like, you know what? We're not going to address them, but we're also not going to turn up the fire. We're not going to throw gas on it. We're just going to let it simmer.
Manage them.
Yes. Manage them as needed. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done my entire life. And oh my gosh, did everything just like the whole stove just blew up in the kitchen.
There was a grease fire.
There was a grease fire. And I'm still trying to put it out. It's nuts.
Yeah. And to see what's left, to see what's worth salvaging, to see what needed to stay, what needs to stay dead. Like, I think you're just picking through the rubble.
It is. It literally is. It's a, and I never thought about that until this moment. It is like a house fire. Like, what are you going to do? Or are you just going to get the bulldozer and just push the whole damn thing down?
Yeah.
And I think that, I think I have a foundation. I have a foundation left. And there's probably some shit in the basement that we're gonna have to drag out, but that's where I am right now. And
so it just got too heavy.
It got,
and you took a break, and now.
And now I'm back, baby.
Back better than ever.
No, that's actually not true at all.
I'm just with a better focus.
Yes, a better focus.
I think you like to jump in head first when you have good ideas, and then after it gets going, you step back, and then you're like, okay, well, here's what I wanted to do, and here's what I ended up doing. So I think maybe
Mary calling me and saying we need to have lunch. You have good ideas, and I'm going to help you organize them. And that's how this happened.
Here's my life skill, administration. Yes. So let me just rein in all your brilliant ideas and help them look better.
Right.
That is a skill I have.
Yes.
And you're an ideas person with maybe less follow through.
Yes.
And I...
A lot of marketing and promotion.
Yes.
For other people, but I've never done it for myself. So that's probably... Yeah, it does. Yeah. It feels weird to put yourself out there.
And that's what I do all the time.
And that is what you do. Yeah. You create all day and you promote and you do. And you know, and Mary has a story she's going to share too, on top of all of the promoting and doing and sharing.
So like, I think our strengths and also our weaknesses work well together, so that we hope now that you're coming back, it can be done like in a way that helps everyone, you,
right,
me,
yeah,
listeners,
yeah,
like we're in this together to kind of grow and become better, as opposed to just sharing our stories and not really what to do with them.
Right. And the plan is, it's not just me saying, okay, here's this horrible thing that happened to me as a child, and this is me working through it, and if something horrible happened to you as a child, this is what you should do. It's not just that. There's so many other aspects to being a functioning human being that we don't take into consideration. I think we said this last time. It's just hard to be a person sometimes.
Right.
And I think that when I stopped the podcast, that's what it was. Like, you guys, like, I am struggling to keep my head above water right now. Literally. I don't even like when people say that.
I say it, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I was the worst version of myself. I was ugly to people that I loved that had hurt me. My coping was being mean and nasty and hurtful and drunk sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just realizing like, oh, I prided myself on something that didn't even exist. When I got into therapy, she was like, no, actually, you don't have shit for coping skills.
Lisa, calm down.
Yeah. Don't talk to me like that. No, but she didn't say that. No. I'm so sorry. I don't know if you ever get to a version of yourself that you're like, yep, I'm here. Good job. They say the moment that you think that you're enlightened, you're so far from it.
Right.
That's not how that works.
Yeah. Or like calling yourself wise. No, actually, right. Whoa. No.
No. Mm-mm, no.
If you think that, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And it's you're actually the opposite of wise. Every time I think that I've taken a little tiny baby step, I realize that, oh my gosh, you still have so much work to do. I don't want to dwell in that spot that I was in, but there were no baby steps. I was stagnant. There was nothing going on that was of value or worth sharing. I would have just come on here and been belligerent and just been like, I hate everybody.
Screw you guys.
Yes. But here's a list of the people I hate.
Here's who we're going to hate today. Yes. Everyone.
Right. And so that just wasn't worth sharing.
I think knowing like about your personality, you're a helper. And so the minute you got something that you found value in, even if you hadn't worked all the way through it yet, you wanted other people to understand this value. You wanted mm-hmm. them to feel mm-hmm. helped too, but you didn't maybe give it enough time to understand how it was going to fully impact you. And mm-hmm. not saying that none of us really know that now, but like you want to help. Like you would rather help others than help yourself. And so you wanted to help others
right.
before getting healthy yourself.
Yeah. I think that and everybody uses that, you know, the plane's going down. You put your oxygen mask on first before you can help anybody around you. And I've never done that.
You would die trying to help other people.
Yeah. And
die well.
But yes, exactly. I thought that, and I think that that's probably a part of it too, thinking back, how many times am I going to say that?
Listen,
yes, this is what I think. Looking back on that now, I realize I didn't feel value because I was so low. I was depressed, and that's really overused. But for someone who has and does suffer from depression, one of my worst states, one of my worst spells, I know we keep saying season, and I feel like that's your word. I feel like it should be like trademark Mary. It's almost like depression is a part of mania, and I know that I experience a little bit of mania at times. I think everybody does, really, but that I have generations of people in my life that are bipolar and manic and depressed and just, I mean, a lot of suicide in my family, just things. I think a part of this is that I can't keep running from those labels, because I was just like, you grow up and you see these adults that suffered and the choices that they made. And I was just like, I'm just not even going to say that I'm that out loud anymore.
Yeah. And then that won't be you.
And then it won't be me. But it turns out that's like
not how it works.
Yeah. Turns out
if I say I'm not chubby, I'm never going to be chubby, guys.
Yes, I'm trying that too, actually.
Ditto.
Yeah. I really thought I could outrun a medical diagnosis. In my brain, it's like, no, you're outside enough and you hug enough trees and you meditate and
aware enough.
Yes. And then like I just started reading the Bible and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be fine. I am going to be fine. And I'm going to eat good food, fruits and vegetables. And yeah.
And I can control this.
I can control this. And you can control this.
Parts of it.
I mean, obviously stress is a trigger and things happen. But it was one thing would trigger it, and then another thing would trigger it, and then something else would happen. And I would realize that I was still in bed from 2 days ago when something else had upset me. And then another thing had happened. And I was like, this hole is getting deeper and darker and colder, and I am all by myself. And I usually felt like someone was at the top and they were reaching, like, I can see you and you're going to help me. And I didn't feel like anybody was there, and I didn't feel like I wouldn't even receive help if somebody was standing there. Like, I was like, I'm not going to take your hand. I'm going to sit right here by myself.
Yeah. I deserve this.
Yes. Yeah, somehow I deserved it. And it was, I really, when you think back about like your behavior when you were coping or when you weren't coping at all, and it was just like, yeah, this is actually what this disease is. This is depression. And you did a really good job hiding it or outrunning it or saying it's PMS for the last 5 or 6 years. Turns out it's not. It's
a little long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but I stopped. So I stopped medicating when I was pregnant with Max. Like, I made that choice to just not. And turns out had a touch of postpartum now, you know, like I've recently found journals and things that I, and
Like hindsight, you can see, wow. Oh, that was dangerous.
Wow. Yeah. It was, I mean, it was dangerous for me. It was dangerous for my child.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it took a huge toll on our marriage. There's just so many things. And it was all in the name of not wanting to be labeled.
Pride.
Yeah. But there's still something about it that it's just hard to say out loud. I suffer from depression. But I think because it's the stigma that comes, like everybody's depressed.
Yeah, we throw that word around now and now it doesn't hold value, or sometimes the weight that comes with that of that alters your life.
Yeah. There are degrees of depression, obviously. Like you're like, oh man, I can feel it coming on. And I realize now, like, it's sometimes it's the same as watching Addie start to have a seizure. Like you can see it in her eyes, or you can see it the day before. She's very lethargic and tired and just, oh, you know, and you're like, okay, then tomorrow's going to be a rough day. And now I see that even in terms of depression, like, oh my gosh, how are you going to get on the other side of this before it even starts? And sometimes you just can't. You can't
think your way out of it. Yeah.
No.
So Lisa shows up and she starts doing the hard work and then everything collapses.
We realize why I'm really there and the root, multiple roots. I'm not going to say like there's a root cause, but there's multiple shaping events that happened in my childhood that I need to address and heal and move forward from.
So that you can then develop better coping skills, love others well, love yourself well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you, because I don't think you have been doing that.
No. Hard no. No, because it's like you realize the things that we do to cope are the things that we, that in my experience, what I did to cope was to serve other people, because when the people around me were sad or depressed or fighting or arguing, I would be like, okay, well, I'll take care of everything and then they'll be happy. And if they're happy, then I can be happy. And, you know, and that is how I got to where I am now. Yeah. Of no. The last person you take care of is yourself. You take care of everybody else first, because your worth lies in what you can do for other people. That's been, you know, a record in my head my whole life.
But eventually you were like empty.
Yeah.
Empty because of that.
Empty.
Then Lisa, and then some other things that we had kind of been working through, reading some books we'll talk about later, just like understanding how like we're made, how our personalities and how we interact with people. Mm-hmm. A lot of really hard smacks on the head kind of just stopped you in your tracks here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we're going to kind of wrap up. When we come back next week, we're going to talk about how do you find a therapist? What's a good therapist? I want to know how you know Lisa's good versus what makes a bad therapist. How do you even go about saying out loud, I need help, when there's kind of a weight that comes with that? Can you tell me something not terrible? To end the week.
Not terrible. So it's finally warm and we don't get springs here in the Midwest anymore. So I'm able to walk around barefoot all the time. And there is something grounding for me, literally in grounding. It's called that. It's when your feet touch the earth. And so, you know, I don't wear shoes and I walk outside and I hug my favorite trees. And I did it a couple of days ago. And then I started to feel bad that I didn't hug all the trees.
Oh, some trees were left out. There were some
trees left out, and I didn't want them to not like me.
Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about that medicine you were on.
So, no, I just went out, and I was like, okay, now you have to designate. But it's actually, like, the heart to, like, it's a practice in being grateful for what the trees give us. And so that's what I've been, like literally taking it to the most simple form of like, thank you for the air I breathe, and like just hugging it out with a tree.
But if you like, you might never be able to catch up with all the trees you have to hug if you feel tree guilt.
So technically, like there's an easement between my property and like the property that the train
and the forest
that the train, like the train tracks own, like those trees. Right? So that tree line is technically not mine. Those trees are not my responsibility.
That's the railroad company's responsibility.
Yes, you hug the trees there. CSX. That's not for me. So no, I don't have that many, but I've got some big good guys, and
yeah,
they're the ones closest to my house.
Okay, well,
that's what's sure. not terrible. Tree hugging,
literal tree hugging.
Yes. Mary, do you have something that's not terrible right now?
I'll go with the spring outdoor theme also.
You hug trees?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm too black and white for that. What? I got so distracted by thinking about hugging a tree. We have lots of, like, pine trees, too. Like, it would just be the opposite of...
Oh, yeah, that's true. You yeah, do. Like, yeah.
I would die. So, for the first time ever... Just peeing right now. No.
Pouring coffee.
We recently moved about a year and a half ago to some land out in the country, and I planted a garden in the past couple weeks. And I don't hug my trees, but I go out and like I have a little meeting with my garden every night, and just like tomato plants, you're looking fine right now. Thank you. Zucchini. Put a little pep in your step. Like I've watered my flowers. I wait for the hummingbirds to come. It kind of turns into Snow White and I'm singing and everyone gathers on my shoulders and we just have a song. But like, there's something magical and for real, kind of what you said, like grounding of getting your hands dirty and mm-hmm. being in the earth and something that people have been doing for thousands of years. Like that I get to be a part of that seems really just like encouraging. I've never grown anything before. I grew some kids, but about it. No. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time.
You have been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider.
Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast.
Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.